Welcome to another episode of Comedy Wham Presents with me, your host, Valerie, and sometime co-host, Miss Purrington. ComedyWham.com is your place to go for features about all Austin comedy. We bring you articles and podcasts featuring the best in Austin comedy in all its shapes and formats. Launched in 2016, the podcast project brings you funny people and their stories. As a fan, I like to delve into a comic's background and motivations, and will usually take a detour along the way. Consider the interview a way for you to get to know the folks that make the Austin comedy scene one of the best in the country. Today, I sit down with somebody who I think I first saw in late 2017 or early 2018. And I, over this past year, I've seen how hard she's worked.
Yeah.
And the rewards are coming. It's pretty cool. She got to take over the Volstead open mic. She launched her own showcase called Bone Rattle. And I know she's got an improv background, and I have just adored watching her, like, grow. It's been really, cool, and she's getting booked a whole bunch. So, and this doesn't even scratch the surface that she's an amazing visual artist. She does these daily, maybe not daily, she does these drawings that she shares with us, and they are amazing. So if nothing else, follow the Instagram account so that you can see those, and she'll promote those at the end. And now Comedy Wham presents SB Rivadeneira.
Hey.
Hi. How do I do? I warned you beforehand.
No, you got it. You got the last name. You did perfectly.
Good. And I only have to say it towards the end again. So from now on, I'm, you know,
I can handle until SB. Later.
Oh my gosh. It has been like so cool watching you over this last year.
Thanks.
I like to start with our official icebreaker question, which is one word to describe your past.
My past? Probably the first word that comes to mind is intense or just a lot of energy, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always busy with something or working on something.
You have a hustle. I mean,
yeah.
And that's very evident just. It's evident from the progress that I've seen you show on stage, but just like the visual art that you do, taking on a showcase, taking over the open mic, hosting, like you've got a definite hustle.
Yeah.
To you. Was that always, has it always been part of your genetics?
Yeah, I think I've always, I have four siblings, three brothers, and I think, you know, my dad's very hardworking. Well, both my parents are really hardworking. And I was always super competitive, especially with my brothers. Cause, and my little sister's the youngest, so I felt like I was constantly trying to do everything they were doing. Yeah, and I've always, and like at school, I did really well, everything, but I just always want to be up there. And I'm kind of impatient, so I try and do as much as I can.
Yeah. You very quickly corrected me that it was early 2018. Does that mean that's when you moved to Austin?
No, I moved to Austin at the end of 2015 because I finished college then.
Okay.
And then I started doing improv.
Okay.
Then, yeah.
All right. Well, let's go way, way back.
Yeah.
because one of your background credentials, however you might say it, is you're from New York.
Yeah.
New York State. Not necessarily city.
Not
but
the
just,
city.
Because that actually comes up fairly regularly in your sets. Like, you wear that very proudly. That
yeah. I kind of, I miss New York. And I think I'm not from the city, but it can feel like I am. Some, mostly because my parents are from, well, my dad's originally from Argentina, but they grew up in Brooklyn. And so they're kind of intense. They've got that intensity.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of that has got to come from just being in New York.
Yeah, and I think the people can be a little harsher sometimes, a lot of the time.
But you can drop the I think.
They definitely are. They definitely are harsher. I try not to be harsh. I can. I know that, and I don't think a lot of people see it when they first meet me, but I think there, I do have a lot of intensity. And, yeah, especially like with the work ethic, and then I think my paintings can show that a lot more because they're a little more profound.
Yeah.
But I'm from upstate New York in Niskayuna, and it was so cold. So that's why I'm, that's like the biggest part of why I moved too. Cause it was, I finished school and my parents had moved here for work, and they were like, you might really like Austin or you could stay in New York. And I didn't want to move to New York City. I think I might eventually, but it's just too expensive. So I moved here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have, from your childhood, any comedic memories?
I mean, we were always, my parents, they're both like really funny. Mm-hmm. I think they're both really funny. And we were always watching like Whose Line Is It Anyway? So that kind of started that improv kick for me. And I just remember watching Jerry Seinfeld a lot of different comedians, Mitch Hedberg. So, and I always thought, I was like, oh, stand-up's really cool. But I don't think I ever really thought I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do any kind of performance in school at all?
No. I think I tried out for some stuff in middle school, and I was, like, really bummed out because I didn't get it. I really liked poetry. There was, like, a few poetry competitions we had done in middle school and high school, I think. I did pretty well with that. And then in college, I edited, like, a poetry and art magazine. But I didn't really perform. I was never... I think in, especially in college, I was a lot more funny with people. Like, I used to be just super painfully shy all the time. And then it kind of came out more and more. And yeah.
Yeah. What did you study in college?
Foreign languages.
Oh.
I was a Latin American studies major. So I went abroad a couple times to South America, Spanish, French, Russian. Those were my main studies. Yeah.
Do you maintain any of those languages?
The Spanish, yeah, because I'm a teacher. Okay. It's a bilingual class. So I'm always speaking Spanish back and forth to the kids and stuff. So that's nice. The Russian, it's so sad because it's like so hard. And I used to be pretty good at it. And I've forgotten so much. But I use it in one of my bits, like the Russian. I have like this Russian bit. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So you finished college.
Yeah.
And then your parents convinced you to get away from the cold weather.
Yeah. I convinced myself. Yeah. That was easy.
Was there something else that appealed to you about Austin specifically? Because you could have gotten the warm weather anywhere in Texas, pretty much.
Yeah.
But what was it? I mean, and there's also this, this battle with when you graduate from college, you're an adult, right?
So yeah.
You don't necessarily want to go back to exactly where your parents are.
Right.
You kind of want to have your own life. So you could have picked any city in Texas and been relatively close to them. Did you know anything about Austin comedy at that point?
No, I didn't even, that wasn't even an idea. Like, I just moved because I knew they had mentioned art, the art scene being really good. So that kind of drew me in. I was like, okay, that's cool. And I wanted to be in a city. Like, I didn't, the rest of Texas didn't really appeal to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just come check it out and see what's going on. Cause it sounded like a good place for young people. And so that's why I picked here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were, your art was already something that you were pursuing in.
Sort of. It wasn't really a main, like, I didn't even take any art classes in college. I was just always doodling stuff. And people would be like, oh, that's cool. But I never did anything with it. I just started to, probably when I started improv, or like really making more constructive pieces with it. Cause I was talking to a friend and he was like, oh, you really could do a lot more with this. And I was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then I just started drawing. And I put them up on Facebook, and I was, like, shocked. Like, people were like, can I buy this? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, if you want to. Yeah.
They're incredibly compelling. And I have a friend who also does doodles. And, you know, you think doodles, super simple, nothing, you know, you're not going to get a lot of depth out of them.
Yeah.
But there's just the simplicity I find really appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And yours are, they're kind of, they're not simple. But the themes and the word choices that you use are like, oh, this is like a really intense, heavy message.
Yeah.
And because I first knew you as a comic, like to see, like in a not happy, perky comic, but just a, you know, observational storytelling comic.
Yeah.
To me, these drawings are so dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, she's really interesting because on stage, I think she's this.
But right.
Like, there's something inside of you that brings, you know, that you're able to, you know, your hand and your brain is connecting to something really universal. Because, I mean, that's kind of our life is we might project the happy, perky personality to some people. And then, but we're really living with some other themes.
Yeah, I think it balances out both parts, like having the comedy and the art. Cause I've always liked art that I hate the art that's like a dot on a piece of paper. That makes me so mad. I'm like, this is nothing. Like, it's so irritating, but I've always liked really, like you said, compelling art or pieces that make you feel a lot. I'm always like, that's amazing. If that can make some people or an audience of people feel the same thing.
Yeah.
So, and I also think, you know, being sad or angry, that's not a bad thing. I always struggled with that for a long time.
Yeah.
So kind of recognizing like, oh, this is okay to feel this way and we need those emotions. So I think that's why I focus on that, on my art. And it helps to, if I am feeling bad or whatever, it kind of like, I feel like relieved after or something. The art helps so much. And then the comedy's like, okay, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what got you to an improv class?
I had just moved here. I didn't know anybody. I had no friends. I just stopped drinking. Like I stopped doing. So that was a big thing for me. So I was kind of miserable and I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to be happy again.
Oh,
like
no.
It was really bad. So that was the biggest reason for me to do improv. Uh-huh. Cause I was like, I need to feel something. And so I'd never, it's so sad. I never did anything on stage. And like I said, I used to be so shy and I was like, let's just do something crazy. Mm-hmm. So I took this improv class and I was like, I don't even think it's going to be good, but I'm just going to try. And I was really bad at driving too. So driving downtown was like terrifying. I was like, oh my God. So I remember my first free improv class was at Cold Town.
Okay.
And I had so much fun. Like, it felt so cool. And there's something about it that I was, like, so focused in the moment. And I wasn't thinking, like, overthinking about everything. And I was like, I got to do this. So I just started Hideout and go every week. It was funny. I think, you know, like, my family didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And I would, like, sign up for the next class. They're like, why are you doing that? And I was like, I really like this. Like, this is good. And then I signed up for some shows and stuff and auditioned and... Yeah, it went great. Yeah. I did a lot with Hideout, especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good venue.
I love Hideout. I kind of miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm so dedicated to stand-up now, and it takes so much time that I kind of don't feel like I have time for improv. Especially the improv shows, it's a lot of work. You gotta rehearse twice a week and hang out, and it's a lot.
Yeah. So what was it that moved you from the improv to trying stand-up? Because there are so, I mean, people in the comedy world think, oh, they're very similar.
They're opposite.
Well, because you're up on stage and you're trying to be funny a lot of times. So I'll generalize because I know there are some improvs that I've seen that are not like explicitly funny. But I know that I really like talking to comics who have done like all of the trades.
Yeah.
Cause it's always interesting to find out what have you learned from one that has translated to the other and vice versa. But what was it that spurred you to try stand up?
I was getting very comfortable with improv. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I still would always learn something on stage and have a lot of fun. But I also wanted to do a lot more. I was like, I wanted even more stage time. And I was like, I'm not getting this. Or I would have troops of people that, cause I wanted to do improv all the time. I feel like when I do something, I kind of go all in. So I was like, I want to do this all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't find a group of people that could commit all the time. Cause I was like, I want to do this every night. And so I was like, well, then what can I do that would be every night? And I was like, you've always admired stand-up so much. And I was like, I think it's time to go for it.
Yeah.
Stand-up's harder than improv, I think.
Why do you say that?
It's like, writing jokes is the most difficult thing for me to do, and finding, like, I think I'm finding more of a rhythm now, and punchlines come easier, but writing takes so long, and you're up there by yourself in improv, you have a team of people with you, and I think even the audience is more supportive, because they're like, oh, okay, you're making this up, but I think audiences in stand-up are like, oh, you prepared something. It better be good. It's only you up there. It's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So what was your first?
Volstead, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was so bad. I didn't even stay up the whole time. I think I stayed up for 2 minutes and I got off and I was telling a story about being abroad. It was not, nobody left. And I remember the first 6 times I did stand up. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I was like, this is a lot. And I would just remember like sweating a lot and just being like so nervous. And then finally at Cenote, I got like laughs and I was like, oh, this is why people do it. Mm. And then I was like, I can do this if I just keep at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have, I mean, I've seen how often you have gone up. Are you doing that intense? Like you want to do it every day, like you were feeling about the improv.
Yeah. It's kind of transferred. Yeah. I do it every day. I did like 13 sets last week. Holy open cow. Mics. I'm out. I try to do 10 plus a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's feeding your
my drive. Yeah, I gotta do something. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting because you're also balancing teaching mm-hmm. with that, which is like full time and more job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what can I ask? What grade you're teaching?
Yeah, I'm teaching third graders.
Okay, so they're not turning in piles of essays.
No, they have. You gotta put in, I don't know, we do like 16 grades a semester. so I mean, it's not terrible. I just, like I said, I feel like I do have a lot of energy and like drive and I get really weird when I don't do stuff. Like I even, like over Christmas break, I was working on stand up and art and stuff, but I was like, wow, I need something else to do. Like, so teaching's really good and I think it balances me out more because I really like kids a lot and we connect really well and we have a lot of fun and they're so light and sometimes I think I can be kind of dark and so I really enjoy working with kids.
It seems like you've developed like this yin and yang experience.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. Yeah, there's like no mix, it's just like one or the other.
Oh gosh, so You've answered questions that I would have. Like one of mine is what's your light bulb moment that you wanted to do this? And you told me, you know, you finally at the Cenote, you felt like you got the response that you'd been, you know, working for. So if the first time you got no response from, you know, and the Volstead I've been to, so I know that that's very much it's a back
hard
of the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're lucky if there's an audience there that's paying attention, but it's mostly comics are going there. So if you got no response, what was it that made you go back? I mean, I think I can predict the answer, but.
Yeah. I just don't give up on stuff. Like, there's like no off button. Like, even with, cause I think I always compare it to drinking a lot too. Like.
She's
so funny.
Just decided to go crazy. What do you have?
That was great. She looks happy.
Oh, she's got a little toy. Okay. Sorry. Breaking news from Miss Purrington. She is playing.
She's having a great time. She's rolling around. She's jumping.
Okay. So.
Sorry.
You don't give up. All right.
No, I don't quit. I think I do compare it a lot to quitting drinking because that's like probably one of the hardest things I've done. So I feel like I'm like, well, this is, if people don't laugh, that's not a big deal. Yeah. It's like you just keep going up until they do or change something or, and I'm kind of like, I'm very obsessed. So I'll listen to a set and be like, what? Mm. I record all of them.
Yeah.
And I'll listen and be like, okay, what happened here? Why didn't they laugh? What kind of crowd was it? And yeah. And I pay attention to other comics. I'm like, why is this person funny? And yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I clearly if you are the personality type to attempt and learn 3 languages in the span of 4 years. You're a student of things. So when did you feel like the studying that you were putting into stand up by, you know, recording and re-listening to your sets, watching others, when is it that you started feeling like, okay, I'm starting to crack the code that works for me? Cause I don't think you can crack the code universally, but I think it's important to crack the code for yourself and what ends up working for you.
I think a couple months in, I remember I told myself, I was like, just try stand up hard for a year and hopefully you get booked for one show. Like that was I was like, just go at it and see what happens. And luckily I've gotten booked for a lot of shows, so that's cool. But it's, probably a couple months in, I think just finding that first laugh at Cenote. And then after that, I was like, I can do it. And then kind of, I still feel like I have so much to learn. Like, I think it's, cause I see comics that have been doing it like 9, 10, 11 years. And I'm like, they are so impressive. I feel like your first year is just figuring out your voice and then trying to reel it in. But I'm still, I kind of want to get more experimental this year, try out some new things, push myself more. Cause I think there comes a point where you get comfortable. And so I'm like, okay, you got to do something else now and make it harder and see. And I always watch, like, there's some comics that are, they're so hilarious. They get a whole room just cracking up the whole time. And I'm like, I'm not there yet. Yeah. I think I can be eventually, but I'm like, I gotta work even harder. Or I've made rooms laugh pretty hard, but I'm always like, I want it all the time. Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite, comics to study? And we don't have to, I mean, you can name locals or you can name nationals or some people you like what they do.
I really like, I don't know if you know Gina Yashere. She was on Netflix.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah. She's like this British woman. She's really impressed. She's really cool and like just funny and has like a strong stage presence. She's one of my favorites. And then I think here there's so many great people. Like I think JT Kelly's hilarious. Like anytime he goes up, I'm always like, oh my God, so funny. There's so many here I can't even think of. I always liked Seinfeld when I was growing up. I think that was just one of my first stand-up comedians I ever saw.
Yeah. So I imagined, because, again, I was seeing you a lot, that you taking over the Volstead open mic was a reward for your performance and effort and dedication to going there. And I remember congratulating you on that.
Yeah, I remember.
That was, you know, I was so excited for you. And it's been 6, 7 months.
Yep.
Maybe even more, because that was May.
And like August or something?
Oh, was it that late? Okay. Maybe.
Might have been May.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah.
Somebody fact check.
One of those.
Somebody's going to fact check us.
Yeah.
What have you learned from hosting? Because the something that I want to kind of check in with it from time to time is you said you were painfully shy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could sense that when you first were starting, but now like you have this poise and presence to you.
Yeah.
And I want to check in with, okay, when you first took that over to how you've done, you know, now,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel like, you know, you've tackled that?
Yeah. No, I was, and I didn't. The first few weeks, I didn't talk to anybody. I was like, I'm not going to bother anyone. I'm not going to talk to anyone. And I think there are times still where I'm like, I could hang out more with comics or something. And hosting, I never hosted anything. Mm. So I was scared. But Taylor Dowdy used to host it, and I was there every week, and he saw I was out every night.
Yeah.
And he was like, I really care about Volstead, and I want to give it to somebody who cares about stand-up and is working at it. And so he asked me, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I thought about it just for like an hour. And I was like, okay, no, it's something that scares you. You got to do it. Like,
right.
And the first night I hosted, I was like, this is terrible. Like, I was so nervous. And a few of the comics like made fun of me, just as like jokingly, not in a mean way, but cause I was so uptight. Cause I was like, you got to nail your set. Cause if you mess it up, then the whole room's going to be messed up with like, which isn't true. And then I was like, I didn't even like introduce people well because it's like, oh, okay, now here's your next comic. Give it up for this person. I was just like, Taylor, down, like, just like said the names and they were like, Espy, you gotta like introduce them. And then after like halfway through the night, I was like, you're literally just shining a light. It's not a big deal. And the next week like went way better. And then after that, it's just gotten so easy. Like, I don't feel nervous hosting the mic.
Yeah.
Bone Rattle's been great. I think it just made me more confident. And hosting's different because it's like you're really trying to warm up the crowd. So I try and talk more, which I used to not do. I was like, this is an improv. Like, you just do your set. So, but trying to be a little more fluid, talking to the audience, being like, oh, we're at a comedy open mic and this is what's going to happen. And having a conversation with some of them helps a lot. So it's made me way more confident.
Yeah. How did Bone Rattle come about, other than the intensity and you just,
just liked wanting to
work really hard?
Well, because Volstead's such a great room. Like, when you pack it out, when there is an audience, it can be a really amazing room. And it's such a nice atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's like, really, it's got a cool stage. And Taylor said he'd been trying for a long time to get a show there, and they wouldn't, so they gave him, he has Hotel Vegas next door. He does ground floor. But then he was like, well, we could try again, and we could ask the owners, like, if you could do it. Mm. And then they agreed to it. So that's how that started. And I was nervous about that too. Cause I was like, I only just got down hosting an open mic. Like, I don't know if I can like, and the first one I was nervous. It went well. Uh-huh. All of them have gone well, but the last one by far was like the best. It was so packed. I was like, could not walk through. Just like, oh my God. It was great. Yeah. Wow. So that's gone really well.
And that's a monthly showcase or is that a week?
They haven't really established. The owner just kind of throws dates. Ah. It's been monthly so far, and then the next one is March 7th, so it's going to be Thursday, not Saturday. Yeah.
Thursday?
Instead of the open mic. Oh. So, yeah. And I didn't really want to, but that was the date, because I just want to keep the open mic maintained, because it's confusing when they switch things off, and all the comics go there Thursday, so, yeah.
Okay, so, what's... What else are you going to add to your plate? I mean, I'm seeing you getting booked on more and more shows.
Yeah.
So you're getting busier and busier from that virtue alone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Are you going to keep up this pace? You said 13 sets this
past week? I can keep going for a while. I mean, until I feel like – and because I talked to Taylor a lot about it and a few other comics, and they were saying, you know, there's going to be a point where – you just won't have to go out as much, or there's certain rooms you might not feel like you need to. I think I just like going out. I think that's how I've gotten to know people, because I do feel like I am shy, but it's easier when you're out every night and people see you and you get more comfortable with everyone. But I know I can keep it going. And it's just something I enjoy, because sometimes work is good, but it can be very stressful. So it's something I look forward to every night.
Yeah.
And it's like it gets me out of my apartment and... So I try and go out. I'll keep it going for as long as I need to. Yeah.
And going back to improv, is that?
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah. It's just so much work. It's like 3 hours rehearsal twice. And I'm kind of so obsessed with stand-up now that the last improv show I did, it was La Vida de los Muertos. It was like an improvised Day of the Dead show.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so great. But it was just funny because I was like, I got to make up those sets that I'm missing, like, somehow. Because I kept thinking about any time I, like, don't go out, I'm like, oh, my God, you missed a set. Or, like, make myself write or watch, like, Netflix or something. Because I'm like, you got to be learning still. Yeah.
Are you ever going to cut yourself a break in that regard?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good at those. Yeah. Like, I usually keep going to something.
I honestly feel like I'm talking to a younger version of myself. Yeah. It's really weird. Except I can't draw or do art. So
that's all right. Sure, if you tried, it would be good.
It's been a while since I've had a fun, in-depth conversation about FPIA. So let's get into
it.
FPIA.
Yeah.
So if your first... Yes, we hear you. If your first open mic was in January of 18, did you...
I did FPIA last year.
And how was that?
It was funny because I watched the video, and like after FPIA, I remember just being so nervous because I also was like, I've done stand-up no time, like compared to everybody else. And I was like, I don't even know if I should do it. But then that compulsive part of me was like, no, you have to do it. Like, and it'll just be good no matter what happens. Like, you'll have that under your belt for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. And I was so nervous, and I was like, felt like I was going to throw up on there. And I watched the video. I looked so calm and cool. Oh. Like, I think I have a good, like, and especially now because I'm more confident. I feel like I always look pretty confident up there, even if I'm not. But no, I looked, and it was fine. And I just, like, have watched that set a lot and was like, okay, these punchlines aren't fast enough. They're not, you know, I kind of would not ramble, but it was just too much detail. And yeah. Now I hate that set now. Like, I'm like, oof, this is bad. But I think for a first go at it, not that bad.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping something happens with it this year because I feel like I'm better at writing jokes, telling them. Mm-hmm. I think I'm even more confident now.
Yeah. And you've obviously put in the work.
Yeah.
To develop and be better than last year.
Yeah.
Are you a detail oriented person where you keep track of all of your?
Yeah. I'm at 498.
Not just yeah, but yeah, and this is the number.
I keep track of all the sets.
Oh my God. Okay. What tool do you use to organize
your... just on Google Docs. Okay. It's like a Microsoft Word
page. All right. I do Evernote
for my
tracking. My number's way lower. But I, you know, praise to the person who tracks every single thing.
Yeah, because I thought, I was like, should you even bother? And I was like, no, because I had been tracking my improv shows for a while, and then I was like, yeah, track your stand-up sets and see... And it's always kind of neat, too. I feel like I get excited because I'm like, I remember when I first started, I was like, wow, imagine getting to like 100 or 500. And now I'm like, oh boy, I can't wait to see what 1,000's like. Yeah.
Gosh. So your first open mic, what was the official date? I mean, you're so close to 500 in 1 year. That's bonkers.
Yeah, it was January 4th.
God. You realize how bonkers that is.
I don't know. I can't turn things up. For me, that's like, okay, yeah, that's what you should be doing. Like,
I mean, it's crazy good bonkers, but it is a version of bonkers. I have friends who berate me when I tell them, okay, I've done these 4 things and it's not even 8 in the morning.
Yeah, I try and get a lot done. I also felt like stand-up had been an interest of mine for so long. So not that I'm like, beating myself up for it, but I'm always I wish I started earlier. Cause I see like Clarkson, he's like 21 or 22 or something, and he's amazing. And I'm like, oh, I wish I'd started earlier or with improv. I don't know. I think it kind of worked out because stand up, it's in a lot of bars and stuff. I'm glad I did improv first because it's like improv really stopped me from drinking, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I stand up, I don't know. If that would have brought me back but I guess it was the right time for me to start. Yeah. I don't know if I would have been as driven if I started earlier. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have. It's almost like you got a gradual breaking of your shyness because you were on a stage, but with a group of people as a, you know, protective buffer.
Yeah. I wonder if stand up, I don't really quit things, but I think it would have been a lot harder for me to navigate stand up if I hadn't started with improv. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, how long before you hit 1,000?
Well, it's probably going to be next February, I'm thinking, because I'm almost at 500, maybe by next March, if I just keep doing. I think I knew that maybe it could be February because I started in January, but I remember I only did Volstead and I did Cenote the next night. Mm-hmm. And then it was a week till I did it again. So it was like 2 weeks of like just 2 a week. And I was talking to some comics like the third weekend. They were like, yeah, if you want to get really good, you have to do it like a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so then after I think the third or fourth week, that was when I did it every night.
Yeah.
I just went for it. And I saw, and I was like paying attention to everyone. And I was like, who's really good? Mm-hmm. And you see the same people out. And I was like, oh, they're really good because they go out every night and just kind of studying them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What, besides the numbers, what are some goals that you've set out for yourself? Or are you, cause that, there are times where I have conversations with comics and I say, oh, so what are your goals? And they're like, I can't do goals because then I'll be disappointed. You know, they have that philosophy versus others are very comfortable saying, well, I've set out these goals for myself. Mm. And if I meet them, great. If I don't, whatever. I have a, Okay, can I make a prediction? You have you have goals, and you will meet them, so there's not even a question of you being disappointed if you don't meet them. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that's pretty, you're right. You're spot on, because I was like, if I have a goal, then I have to do it. Like, it's going to happen. I kind of want to try some crazier things. Like, I thought of a new bit that is definitely outside of what I've done before, and I messaged Rob Gagnon about Sandbox. I'm thinking about trying some character work. Like, I did so many characters in improv, and I was like, you never use them. And I think it's important to kind of develop your persona and stand up, but I was like, I think at this point I could try both or even try and meld them together, like when I'm telling stories or something, bring out those characters more, make them more absurd. Mm-hmm. I love like really bizarre stand up, like Elizabeth Spears. She, I think, is hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I'm like, oh, I really like absurd and quirky stuff. So I'm trying to bring that out more in my stand up. But a goal of mine, to be more, I guess, more absurd, bring out some characters, try, I might bring some objects into it, like I have an idea. I'll try it out. You guys will see it eventually, but yeah, I have some ideas that I'm going to test out.
Yeah.
So I want to be more experimental and just in general, more hilarious, like get to my punchlines faster.
Yeah.
Like more laughs in a set. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth is a great study in word economy.
Yeah, she is.
Since you like to study, listen to her episode with us, because she really talks about how she gets to that word economy.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
That's
and
cool.
It's a great lesson
I'll
for
I'll definitely anybody. Listen to it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's experimenting with what you're writing and performing. Any other goals
for yourself? To travel more, too. I went to New York City last summer for an improv show, like a festival, and then I did, it was like 5 days, I did like 8 or 9 open mics over there, too. Yeah, I just kept going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I want to go back. If I can get on a show, that would be cool. If not, just do all the open mics and meet people.
How was the open mic experience in New York?
It wasn't as intimidating as people made it out to be here, because they're like, oh, it's going to be the hardest place. And it was fine. Like, everyone was really nice. But I think there's so many more comics over there. And the general, like, I feel like everyone was just better or more organized or something. So I think that just even that trip made me more confident, too, because it was like, if you're not, I felt like there was no one that was nervous. That's what it felt like. Like, I would go in and everyone there was great. And I was like, if I'm nervous, like, I'm going to be the worst one in the room no matter. And I was like, my jokes aren't as good as these people yet. Like, I got to, so I had to step it up a lot. But everyone was really nice. There's definitely more of a hustle there.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard it said that you can do like 5 open mics in a single night if you really plan it out carefully, which is crazy. You can do what, maybe 2, maybe 3 sometimes?
You can do 3 or 4 here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. And you probably have.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask you, what is the most number of open mics you've done in a single night?
Probably, I think 4. If I could do more, I would have, but I think because Mondays are really good for that. Mondays, there's the mic at Little Woodrow's, then Luster Pearl, Cold Town if you get on there, and the Spider House mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
You've been so efficient with your answers that, I'm just not sure what else to ask you about.
I try to be efficient.
And I'm feeling guilty that I'm taking away from your
productivity. You're great. This has been great.
Festivals? Is that something you want to get into?
That's something I'm interested in. I just don't know enough about, because I feel like there's a lot. Some of the comics were saying, like, you want to get on ones that aren't going to make you pay for them or more competitive, but I haven't even really looked at that yet. I think I have, so a couple other goals are to be on Valve shows and I think it's Punch at Cap City. Everyone's always talking about that. So I definitely want to get on those. Yeah. And I don't know. Those are like my biggest goals for this year. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to assume those are going to happen. So. And you're probably, you know, you're probably doing that Thursday night open mic. Well, no, I guess you can't anymore. How do you manage that?
No, I do. I messaged Pat Dean. I said, hey, like, I love the open mic, but I'm hosting at Volstead. Yeah. So if you can just put me up last or late or whatever. Uh-huh. So we always, cause I did it last week. Yeah. So I try and always go. I think it's a little detrimental to me because I work so hard during the week, like going to all these open mics.
Yeah.
And I think I need to go to shows more, like got to go to Valve shows or Cap City more often. Cause I really haven't seen that many shows at Cap City, but I get so tired by like Friday and Saturday and I just sleep for like 10 hours. Like it's crazy. I'm like, who am I? But yeah, I think I'm going to try and make more time for those. Cause I think that's a big thing is going to the shows and being there more.
Yeah, and studying not just the local comics, but studying the people that come in from out of town is really helpful. I was talking to somebody else, and they're like, they definitely take advantage of the fact that both the Valve and Cap will let comics sit in the back. And, you know, so you can basically study.
I love that. That's crazy. Because it's, when I did improv, it was like they... You had to pay to go to all the shows, so I was like, I'm not going to go watch. And it was funny, and then comics were like, oh, you can go to Valve, and I was like, oh, how much is it? And they're like, no. And I was like, that's crazy to me. That's so cool. I used to go to Valve a lot over the summer just because I had off, so I would sleep a lot more. Yeah, but I'm trying. I know that I have to see more Cap shows this year.
Yeah. And then Moon Tower, you got to absorb that as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because there's some amazing performers that come in for that.
Yeah, so I'll do that.
Yeah.
Take it all in. Yeah.
It's just part of your curriculum.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if you compared notes with other people locally. I'm sure they exist in New York where you can do the 5 or 6 open mics a night, but I wonder how many people in the first year have gotten like that close to 500 open mics or performances, rather, in their first year.
I'm not sure. I was talking to this open mic host in New York City, and she asked how many I was doing per week. And she was like, yeah, I used to do that. But I have no idea if that was her first year or what. I don't know. A few comics told me that I was hitting it really hard for just starting. But I was like, why wouldn't I hit it really hard? Because it's like you don't know what's going on, and stand-up's hard. And I wanted to get to know people and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a difference, and I guess I don't want to convey to anybody that might be listening that there is a difference between somebody who hits hard and they're just showing up and you're seeing the same set that 500th time versus the first time. I mean, you can always show up to any of these mics and just do the same set and not grow. But the difference is that you, in that 500, you have grown immensely, and that's paying off by you getting booked on showcases. I mean,
somebody else's
less capable hands, they could have tallied up that 500, but if there's no growth.
I try to make the most of it, because I've seen a lot of comics do the same set, and I've talked to people about it, because I was like, why do they do that? And they're like, well, you really can grow the set or get a new tag eventually, or I think I get bored.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, okay, this works. I don't know. It's still hard for me. I'm trying to learn how to develop my jokes even longer. They're kind of short. And I think when I write them, sometimes they're too long, and then I cut until I get to that punchline faster.
Yeah.
But I want to be a little more narrative and get laughs along the way. I would get bored doing the same stuff. And I didn't feel, and I felt like it's scary to try new material. I always get nervous before I try new material.
Yeah.
So I was like, that means you have to do it more.
Yeah.
So, and I've gotten, like, my FPIA set last year, I haven't used that material in months, maybe a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that somebody with your, like, work ethic would get bored really easily with stuff. Because the skills that you have at that 10th open mic are very different from the skills that you have at your 400th.
Yeah, it's and hugely different. And the material
kind of conveys that too.
It's crazy because it feels like, not that you're going backwards, but you kind of plateau. Mm-hmm. And you can, I feel like it's like climbing something where you're at the bottom and you're like, okay, I'm doing all right. And then you get up there to like the 10th one and you're like, oh my God, like I can see so much further. It's like, this is what I want now. You see further and it's like, okay, I want to get there. And then that's how I feel now is like, oh, I have so much work to do. So I have all these goals, but then I know after that, I'm going to be like, okay, what next? Yeah. What's next? Yeah.
So you probably buy into the, this is something that I've adopted such a long time ago, but the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything.
That's how I feel. I totally feel like I don't know anything. Like, and I think it's a weird, there's something weird about stand-up because it's like, yeah, you bomb, but you just keep going at it. And I'm like, we're all kind of crazy, like all of us to keep doing this thing we're not good at. Or, and I remember thinking like, I don't know, probably my, when I hit 50 or whatever, like, oh, I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. And I look back on that, even from a few weeks ago, I'm like, these sets are terrible. Like, I know. I'm like, God, you gotta. And I do this thing, which is good. It's a little harsh, though, but I will watch. I've been watching a lot more Netflix stand-up, which is easy because it's at home.
Yeah.
But I compare myself to, like, Neil Brennan and Dave Chappelle. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're terrible. Like, what are you doing? You got to get better. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've been doing a lot.
Yeah, gotta remember they've been at it for a few years.
Yeah. Oh, I consider Neil Brennan like this. He must have like this incredible brain. I've seen him live a few times, and I'm always blown away.
Yeah,
and just how he writes is just incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's a tough one to emulate.
Yeah, that's why I'm always like, my writing has to get better. That's mm-hmm. the biggest thing. Because I think my confidence has gotten better. I think that's huge, too. Like, sometimes there are comics that I watch, and they're funny, mm-hmm. but they're not as good joke writers as other comics. But I think because they have a confidence or, like, swagger or something up there, then they nail it, and they get the audience on their side. So I think I'm getting better at having a presence, mm-hmm. but I'm like, if I can get that and the joke writing, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you considered taking writing classes to work on?
I don't, all the comics were like, don't take a stand-up class. It's stupid. Right. So I'm not doing that, but Karina Magyar had posted about doing a co-op.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that. So, and it'll be nice because it's writing with comics, working on something specific. And I don't know who else is in it yet. But I know she's been doing it for years, so it's like, it'll be nice to, because I have friends that sometimes I'll work with them, but I think this will be really, like, constructive.
She's an amazing writer, too, so.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Well, cool. Sounds like way more goals.
Yeah, there's a lot.
A lot to accomplish.
I got to tackle this year. My goodness. Not enough time.
You know, given how productive you are in the stand-up world, like, how do you make the time for your art?
The art, usually, I don't sleep a lot. I have a hard time.
Oh my gosh.
My brain's always going. I've been trying to meditate more. It's funny because I make the kids at school do it too. I'm like, we all got to do this. Like, and I think it helped. Like, meditation has been huge in my growth too. Because I started meditating every day, like, probably when I moved here or maybe before then, sometimes on and off in college, but it was something I was always interested in because my uncle does it a ton. He'll go to these retreats and stuff. And I was like, oh, what's that? And my dad's like, oh, it's nothing. Like, and I was like, no, it's so cool. Like, I want to know. And because I think I can have a lot of energy and emotions, it kind of brings me back. So I've been trying to meditate more and exercise more. So I have a plan. This is another goal.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm going to start waking up at 5:30, work out, meditate, go to work, sleep, because I have a hard time sleeping. I'm hoping that'll tire me out enough to take a nap before the mics, and then, I don't know, write a little bit, then go out. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping with the schedule, it'll help me to sleep more, but I'll be more efficient because, like, I can write more too and do more open mics. So I'm going to try this out and see how it goes.
I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a nap.
You're like, I can't listen to this. This is too much.
Oh my God. Let's talk in 20 some years and see if you're as exhausted by hearing somebody talk. No, it's really great. It's, like I said, you're like a twin of me when I was, you know, yeah, in my 20s where it's like it's nonstop productivity. Go, go, go. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. We're going to start wrapping up and I'm going to ask you. Oh, wait. No, here's a good question for you. Okay. What scares you about being a performer?
About being a performer?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a scary thing. I think there's something about you wonder if you're going to make it big one day. I think that can be a little daunting to think about, thinking like years from now, is this going to mean anything or mm-hmm. how am I going to navigate that? Or even seeing people move ahead of you. Not that I've started that long, but you see people that are great or have done well or, and feeling, I don't like feeling jealous of people. So I try and just accept that and be like, no, you're just, you can learn from them. That's mm-hmm. what that is. You don't have to be jealous of them. You can congratulate them and see what they're doing and mm-hmm. learn from it. But trying to kind of control your emotions as you go through stand up. Cause there's so much that's happening on stage and off stage all the time. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Now we'll go into our final question. One word to describe your future.
Successful, joy. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be,
exhausted is what I would have picked. No.
Like a big word. I don't want to say like, the first word that came to mind was like something like legend or something, mm-hmm. but just trying to, cause I feel like I have so much energy and I'm like, you just got to keep, even if it doesn't go somewhere necessarily, I want to feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to look back like 20 years and like, you did so much stuff with your life.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't pursue their dreams or just go to work and they're like, oh, well, maybe like I have a friend, she's great, but she's like, oh, I really want to write a book. And I'm like, you should go do, like, start now. And she's like, well, I don't have time. And it's like, do it now. Yeah. Cause like, I'm not old, but I know that life goes by really fast. And right. I think it's cool that I am a performer in Austin mm-hmm. and I get to do all these cool things. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. After the mic, I'm going to recommend some episodes to listen
to. I'll definitely listen.
There are some people that have that. You know, high productivity and, you know, there's a reputation that I think some comics get for being, you know, the slacker stoner types who just, you know, go to the open mics and they're, you know, they sleep all day or they're working, a burger, job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are others who are this high productivity type of personality that are out there and working hard, and it's, you know, there's a whole spectrum out there.
Yeah.
And the slacker stoner type doesn't need to apologize for being that if mm-hmm. they're funny, if they're enjoying their time on stage, nor does the high productivity type need to apologize for, you know, being who they are.
Yeah.
So we at Comedy Wham embrace all. All right. Well, that is a wrap on Comedy Wham Presents SB Rivadeneira. SB, tell us where we can find you and upcoming shows. This episode is going to release March 1st, so keep that in mind.
Yeah. So my Instagram, I just separated because I was like, the art and comedy seem a little weird mm-hmm. together, especially for bookers in the future. And they might be like, she might be crazy. I was like, I'm going to separate these things. I have my art one is Espionage 93. My comedy one is Espionage 921. I have a Twitter now. I think it's just at SB Rivadeneira. I'm always at Volstead Thursdays for that open mic. And then Bone Rattle is pretty much monthly. I have some shows coming up that you can see probably on my comedy Instagram. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay. Very good. We hope you've enjoyed learning about how SB got to be the comedic genius that you heard today, just as much as I have. Be sure to visit ComedyWham.com and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at ComedyWham, and like our Facebook page. You can listen to past interviews on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and please review us while you're at it. This has been Comedy Wham Presents, SB Rivadeneira. I'm Valerie, and that's been funny.
Thank you.
Thank you, SB.